We are back. 1 hour left. Scott Beeson filling in on the right side radio. Phil Williams is out. Phil will be back here on Monday. I'm here. Boomer is here. And we are ready to rock. I don't know. I'm going with the next thing I think is fascinating, actually. Everybody, the country was quote-unquote in turmoil. I don't really believe the country was in turmoil. The media wanted people to be in turmoil. The leftist wanted to be in turmoil over the flipping of Roe v. Wade. Now, abortion is not illegal in this country. I think if the United States Supreme Court had been completely pure, I think they would have made abortion illegal. Historically, traditionally, that would have been the right decision. There is a right to life. You can't have liberty unless you're alive. You can't have the pursuit of happiness unless you have liberty. And you can't have liberty unless you're alive. So it all works in order. And you take the Christian foundation of what the founding fathers believed in, and frankly, go back to some of the decisions that the Supreme Court made early in the history of the country, and you get a different understanding of how things used to work. There was actually a book. I'm trying to remember what it was called. Original Intent. I'm looking at it right now. Found it on the bookshelves. Original Intent by David Barton. David Barton is a Christian writer. I don't know if you're familiar with David Barton or not. He's got a couple of different books. One of them, he's got a bunch of books, but a couple of them that are my favorites. The other one is The Jefferson Lies, which is about 8 or 10 things that modern history tries to claim about Thomas Jefferson, but then what the truth is. And Barton is one of these guys, and I used to talk to him every so often because I would see him at different functions and events. I don't know if he'd remember me now, but he's one of those guys that knows that his position is going to be attacked. If he says something about Thomas Jefferson, he better have footnotes, he better have the references, he better be able to back up what he says, because there's always leftist professors, et cetera, who are going to attack that position. And so when I'm talking about, if you'll go back and look at what were the decisions early on in the country, you get a very, very strong, not even a sense, but a crystal clear idea that they were making their decisions based on the tenets of Christianity, Protestant Christianity. And there's just no way around it. I mean, there are multiple decisions against things like polygamy. And the court says, hey, look, this is against Christianity. Christianity is what our basis of morality is in this country. This is against Christianity. It's out. Not doing it. And when I first started running across these decisions and seeing what they were actually saying, I was like, wow, it just completely blows your mind considering what we have been taught, not just through the schools and the education system, but through the media and through just modern culture. We literally have been taught that if something is based on biblical teachings or the scripture, well, then we as a society need to be exactly on the opposite side. If the scripture says homosexuality is wrong, we need to say homosexuality is good, and we need to teach it in schools, and we need to accept it and tolerate it, and we need to have the government condone it, the whole nine yards. If the scripture says God made male, men and women, he made them, created them male and female, then we need to say, no. You might be a girl, but you might be a boy. You were born a man, but you might be a woman. We just need to say it that way. Someone comes along, the Biden administration, you may not even be aware of this, a number of congressmen are upset about it. The Biden administration is spending some amount of money giving up to $500,000 grants to international organizations for the spread of atheism and humanism. A number of Republican congressmen are like, hey, what the heck are y'all doing? You can't be spending government. These are belief systems. You're out, supporting a religious system. Because remember when we all agreed, oh, yeah, we'll agree. That's fine. Yeah, the government shouldn't be. The separation of church and state. Yeah, we shouldn't be. So here it is. Your little town, my little town, can't have a nativity scene. Your school system can't call Christmas break anymore. It's got to be winter recess or some kind of mangled up mumbo jumbo. But the federal government can give people grants to try to foster atheism and humanism? That's okay? That's kind of where you get when you decide that there are no standards whatsoever. And we on the right, we let it happen. We thought it was kind of highbrow. We thought it was kind of, oh, well, that's, yeah, we need to definitely not be doing that. So then the left was like, this is awesome. This is great. We talked them into tolerating everything. And then we get them, when they're behind, we're not going to tolerate anything they believe. Just not going to do it. I saw somewhere where someone asked, when did tolerance become one of the fruits of the Spirit? People are like, I don't remember. Right, that's the answer. You know, tolerating evil is not a positive. I don't think we get any credit for tolerance of evil. Don't you think we get more credit for saying evil is evil? Just one of my ideas. But take some time to research. Maybe we'll have a little bit of it tomorrow if that's what y'all are interested in. Maybe I'll hear back from some folks and I'll give you an example or two of some of the things that were crystal clear. And I'll brag on this to you, Boomer. The way I found one of these stories was, golly, it was like in Oregon or Washington State where the sheriff had denied somebody the right to vote or something because he said that he was a criminal and it was because he was a polygamist. So I automatically thought, well, this guy's going to lose because you can't hamper their wonderful right to vote or whatever. It turns out the sheriff's name was Beeson, spelled like mine, which means it comes from the same group. And I was like, uh-oh, the fundamentalist, narrow-minded, bigoted sheriff's named Beeson. Well, the doggone court ends up saying, yeah, you can't. No, that's wrong. You can, not to the sheriff, to the polygamist. And said, you are, that is a crime. It is against Christianity. You would never get that today. All the courts would run. All the little judges would run. They'd have their black robes flapping in the back, just running, scared, terrified. And that brings me up to this story. CNN just a few days ago, so we know we've got the ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. And it didn't get rid of abortion. It just said that, look, under the Constitution, the federal government doesn't have any say in abortion. This is one of those things that should be a state issue. The states can decide. And really, it is a great answer. If I want to live in a state that has abortion, then great. If I want, no, I wouldn't say it's great, but that's my choice. If I want to live in a state that doesn't have abortion, that's fine. I should be able to live in a place that has values closer to what I live in, and everybody shouldn't be forced to live under the same set of guidelines. Classical liberals would be okay with this, but modern liberals aren't okay with it because they have every intention of making you and I live in the type of community that they create. So you and I don't get to have our worldview accepted. We don't get to have a little town where we have our set of moral guidelines. It'll be their moral guidelines that we live by. You would think they would be okay with them having their place. We have our place, and we'll agree to disagree, and we'll fight our common enemies together, the Chi-Coms or whoever. Not the case anymore. But CNN has an article that talks about how Chief Justice John Roberts, and most conservatives don't have a tremendous amount of faith in John Roberts. He's the guy who made sure we got Obamacare. And the story says that John Roberts worked up until the last minute to try to get one of the other justices to flip on the Roe v. Wade decision. That he really worked Kavanaugh. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll get to the phones on the other side. Let's do that. We'll get to Charles right after this. But just imagine that. The Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, who we gave a little bit of credit on my show, I said, you know, I give him a little credit, but he's not really voting on our side. He's kind of waffling. Can I not try to split the baby? Y'all do realize splitting the baby was not the positive choice, right? How did we miss that too? We got to take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back in, everybody. Scott Beeson filling in on a Right Side Radio. Phil Williams will be back on Monday. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Don't forget the number, 833-687-4448. I hope y'all are better with numbers than I am. There's always one number I get out of sequence. I don't know why. Some sort of mild mathematical, numerical dyslexia of some kind. And I'm not just trying to get a check. I think it's really an issue. I don't know why. It's always been that way. Hopefully you remember numbers better than I do. Do not forget, I also have a radio program that's on from 9 until 12. The easiest way is to go check out scottbeesonradio.com. Streams on there live when I'm on live. scottbeesonradio.com. You can see the stations I'm on, but a lot of people around the world, frankly, listen there on their phones. And Beeson is B-E-A-S-O-N. So scottbeesonradio.com or scottbeeson.com. That will get you there. Let's go to the phones. Charles in Morgan County, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening.
It's in Bayou.
Hey, Charles, what's up, buddy? I just caught you right there at the end. I think I surprised Boomer.
Oh, okay. I wanted to run something by you here.
Yes,
and
sir.
It's the way, and I'm going to get to another aspect of it. It won't take me but a second, but mm-hmm. It's the blackmailing of the states by the federal government. Remember, we could say you're going to raise your age to drink.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to raise your age to smoke. Several things throughout the years, usually done by Democrats.
Speed limits.
In power. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Roe versus Wade. I'm not an attorney, but I believe that giving states their rights back should fall in the category of not allowing the federal government to do that. And the most recent of doing that is the transgender bathrooms and the locker rooms in the state are not getting the federal money to feed the children that are incapable of being fed because of poverty.
Correct.
And I think that this decision, which gives autonomy back to the states, is heading us in that direction if we use it properly. Of course, we've got kind of mediocre Republicans in power that don't seem to want to take a really good constitutional originalist look at what needs to be done. But these type things need to end. They don't need to continue, and something needs to be done about them.
No, I could not agree with you more, Charles. And I don't know the philosophy of the Supreme Court. I know for sure that there are a lot of members of the Supreme Court throughout history, especially in the last 100 years, who've kind of seen themselves as this superior body, and they look at the ebb and flow of society, and they're like, okay, well, what do we do that kind of soothes the feelings, the political tensions? How do we keep it kind of quiet? And I really believe there is a chance that the current makeup of the Supreme Court now is leaning towards, let's turn a lot of decisions back to the states, because it is a way. I know people will be surprised to hear this based on the Roe v. Wade thing, but hear me out, Charles. It is a way to, over time, kind of tone down the differences. If you start letting people say, okay, it's fine, just let us do it our way here. The crazies over in Alabama can do it their way there. Just don't make me live it. I think over time that settles down some of the animosity that the left and the right have in this country. And I think it's a good plan. I hope that's what the Supreme Court's doing. They're trying to say, let's put it back like the founders wanted it. There's not a central power that just decides everything for everybody. Let's let them do it 50 different ways, and that'll tone down some of the tempers. Not necessarily the Roe v. Wade one, because the left has gone so crazy, but I think over time it helps, and I hope that is the policy of the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, Manchin is letting this infrastructure go through. And here's my question. What parts of this infrastructure of us getting these billions of overall trillions of dollars is going to be Alabama or your little county or your commissioner that's going to get this for their roads must follow these federal guidelines to get this money?
And oh, there's no doubt there's going to be strings attached. Yeah, it's always
and,
that
and,
way.
And if we don't watch, these strings will be pulled without us ever knowing they're getting pulled if we don't pay attention. If you know, zoning rights or anything that they can do that's going to enable them further through the use of this money, if we don't know about it, could be very bad on the individual citizen.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Charles. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Very good points.
Take care.
Talk to you again soon. Let's go to Michael. Michael and Arab, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening.
Hey, Scott. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Michael. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Hey, you was talking about, you know, the Agenda 2030 and all that. And,
yes, sir.
You're absolutely right about them wanting to. They're not wanting to put us in electric cars. They're wanting to make us move to cities and ride the buses and the trains.
Mm-hmm. That is the dream. They've been talking about it for years and years and years and years. If you remember the old term they used to use all the time, what was it, urban or suburban sprawl? Oh, it's so terrible. Everybody's moving out in the suburbs. It's awful. It's awful. Why? Well, because that's just not the dream they have.
Absolutely. Have you seen this new city they're going to build in Saudi Arabia?
No, I haven't. Tell me about that.
You need to look this up. It's going to be 105 miles long. It will have walls as tall as the Empire State Building, and there will be no personal transportation in it. You will either walk everywhere or ride the train, and they've already started construction on this. Sounds
30?
Just like something.
It is a five. I'm looking. Golly, Michael. I'm looking at businessinsider.com. Leanna Garfield. Saudi Arabia is building a city. It's going to be $500 billion. Hey, we could build that in no time considering how much we're spending. $500 billion is 33 times the size of New York City. Holy moly.
Well, 9 million people.
Really? And they're going to pay for it with us buying their oil, right?
Right.
Goodness gracious.
It's going to be an eco-friendly city also. It's going to have solar power and, you know, all the stuff.
Really?
The left is small, yes.
Will they still beat up and hang women if they get caught walking around outside without their chaperones?
I don't know. In the article, there's a video of it, and there's a woman flying around in it. And, you know, she's not wearing the headdress or none of that stuff they have to wear, so.
Really?
Yes.
I bet she is a foreigner, Michael.
Probably so.
Thanks, you know. Buddy. I appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Give us a call back sometime. We got to take a break. Then we'll get to John in Madison. We'll be right back. Back, everybody. Scott Beeson filling in for Phil Williams. So if you're like, who is that redneck sounding twangy voice? It sounds like he might still be 15. That's Scott Beeson. Phil Williams will be back on Monday. He's allowed me to fill in, and maybe they'll ask me back tomorrow. I'm supposed to be back here tomorrow, but you never know when I might get thrown off the air for saying something I probably shouldn't. But let's go to John in Madison if he is still on. John, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening.
Well, if you don't throw yourself off the air, I'm definitely going to say something that'll get you thrown off the air.
All right, there you go. That's what I want to hear, John.
So I'm going to talk to Great Reset and Klaus Schwab, but I want to back up a little bit because we all know globalists have been with us for a long time. I mean, the party at Davos has been there, well, who knows how long. But you know,
yeah, I can't keep up with the changing groups. I mean, we had the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and or Bergs, or whatever. I don't know which one is. Maybe that other one's a, you know, a fast food restaurant. The then we've had, so now we're up to the World Economic Forum, the Davos crowd. But you're right. These folks have been around a long time.
And while my first point, I'm going to do a little history now. My first point may not have anything to do with the globalists. One of the things that they got out of it that shocked our country, our soul, was abortion in 1973. So, what, we killed about 60 million babies in the womb?
Yes, sir.
I want to get to the point, though, if I could, Scott, about why the insanity about the vaccinations and what's going on. I think it all makes sense. So I'll just throw it out there and let the listeners decide. But first we had abortion, and then there was the whole mystery with the Georgia Guidestones. Are you familiar with that?
I am. They got blown up recently, and I didn't do it.
Well, I didn't either, but the truth is it got blown up a couple weeks ago because on those Guidestones it wanted to limit population to 500,000 worldwide. I mean, we blow that away here in the United States. But the globalists, if you follow how it got evolved, the globalists seem to be all over it. And then in 2009, Jesse Ventura, and I know everybody calls him a quack, had an interview with Dr. Rima LeBeau. And Dr. LeBeau said what's going on is they're trying to cull not only the American population but the worldwide population to get back to that Georgia Guidestone number of 500,000. I know it sounds crazy. I really do. But we have to open our minds because then introduce the vaccine that we saw with COVID. And when I was a soldier, we had 10 or 12 deaths from the swine flu vaccine. They shut that puppy down. And now you can't even get the CDC and the FDA to talk honestly about the deaths and the vaccine injuries caused by the vaccine. But let me say this, Scott. The Americans, if we don't get the jab, we lose our job. They didn't give the jab to the Afghans, and they're not getting the jab to the illegals coming across the southern border. Why? Because replacement theory is in full play by the radical left, the globalists, because they want a more conformist population. So I honestly believe that what's going on and explains every detail, if you look at it from the perspective of culling the American population, yay, the Western population, it will make perfect sense, in my honest opinion.
You are not going to get any argument from me on those points.
Americans will think about it, we'll come together like we did right after 9/11, and we'll stop this nonsense cold. But right now, one political party showing their allegiance to the globalists is trying to destroy America and kill unsaid millions of Americans in their replacement theory. And it's time for us to act.
I want to point out something, John. I think you will agree. And there's all kind of discussion, and maybe we'll do this tomorrow. I don't know how many times y'all have done this over on Right Side Radio. But one of the fascinating things to me of what's going on is this whole battle against quote-unquote whiteness. And we've dealt with this issue on Alabama Unfiltered, the podcast that I'm on, the 1819 News Powers. And people are surprised to hear that whiteness is not the amount of melanin in anyone's skin. Now, it is used that way if it is necessary by the left to divide people and to make people not want to defend, you know, certain things or whatever. But whiteness, from the Marxist standpoint, is Western thought, Christianity, traditional Western values, those sorts of things. That is the whiteness that has to be destroyed. That is the whiteness that is oppressive. And
you mean,
when you're talking about things like replacement theory, Well, I was going to go to the rest. When you talk about replacement theory, what people have to understand is it's not they're trying to get rid of, quote, white people that don't have much pigment in their skin. They're trying to get out and get to what you were talking about, get to a society that has a different worldview that is easier to mold, easier to conform. You know, Americans believe in liberty. I mean, that's how we got where we are. And that mindset has to be suppressed. And so that's what it's all about. It's not about how people look. It's about what those people believe, what's in their soul. So we're on the same page.
For generations, we believed in capitalism and incentive. But Klaus Schwab believes that they can transform the world where that we will own nothing, but we will be happy. That is not going to happen from the American perspective very easily. And that's why replacement theory is a thing, and culling Americans, yay, Westerners, Australia. Take a look at that insanity. Why are they shutting down the farms in the Netherlands? Mm-hmm. It's all crazy. It's all crazy. But if you look at it from the perspective of culling people, then you got your answer. And one last thing, Scott. In 2016, they were extremely open about it. All over the radio, they were talking about how mankind is the problem. We're the ones spoiling the environment, ruining mm-hmm. the climate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The left has told us what they're going to do, and by God, now it's fully underway, in my honest opinion.
John, I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Take care.
Give us a call back later. Bye. You know what's funny, Boomer, is when I said I can't disagree with John. And I can remember just a few years back, some of these things, I'd be like, what? And I figure I was kind of on the conspiracy theory side because I believe that human beings are naturally evil and we have a sinful nature. I mean, who are the angels? Who are these angels that are going to run this new world order? Is it going to be Klaus Schwab? Is it going to be one of the guys that's under him? Is he's very, very public about how we're going to merge technology with human beings and, you know, create better people. And you're like, what the heck? That's crazy stuff. But when he's talking about leftists wanting population control and saying that there is a perfect number, I've heard between 500,000 and a billion. And we're at, what, 8 point something, maybe 9 billion? How does people get rid of the other 8 billion people? How do you do that? And are people willing to do that? And this is the question that I have to ask folks. I have a certain set of beliefs. That they are Christian beliefs. They come from the scriptures that God has given us. And some people may agree or disagree. There are some people who don't believe in the supernatural side, but they say, you know what? All those things the Christians believe has calmed human beings, has created positive effects for societies. Before Christianity, the world was a brutal, bloody, jungle-esque place. That's just truth. Period. It was Christianity that brought civility to the world. And say maybe they don't agree with that. But here's the thing. People believe in things. I always talk about the left and the religion of the left, and one of the tenets is abortion, and another one of the tenets is LGBTQ activism and all this kind of stuff. But think about this. Just before we take a break, if someone believes in the deepest part of their soul that the world will be better. They believe that it would be right. The right thing to do is to try to get to only 500,000 people in the world. And they don't really believe in eternity. They don't believe in a God. They don't believe that people were made in the image of God. And they believe that the right thing to do, the moral thing to do, is save the planet at all cost. What does all cost mean? Are these people willing to cull the population? And cull the population means kill people off so that the earth can keep going, so they can save Gaia. Now, here's the part that really makes it uncomfortable. You and I have both seen these people on TV. You've seen them screaming, chanting, crazed looking for the planet, save the planet, save the planet now, do whatever, blah, 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 blah. We've seen them. Now imagine if those people that you've seen, that belief system is at the highest levels of government across the planet. Do you really think that they would be stopped? That they would say, you know what, is this wiping out millions of people? No, we would never do that. Why not? What stops them from their ultimate goal? You can't say it's because they're afraid of judgment. You can't say it's Christianity. They're doing what they think is right. Our question is, do we believe what they've said? It's like John pointed out. They've told us what the goal is. We just haven't bothered to think, well, dang, are they working to get there? Don't you think they are? I think they are. We got to take a break. We'll be back. We are back. Scott Beeson filling in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. I appreciate you listening. Don't forget the numbers here, 833-687-4448. We got a few more minutes in the program. Let's go to, I think it's Steve up in Tennessee. Steve, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to pitch in three things. Number one, the Bible says we're supposed to subdue the earth, not to be subdued by the earth. God says he wants us to replenish the earth. There's nothing in the Bible that ever says a word about worried about how many people are here. And I have gotten some very strange looks out of these folks that think the earth is overpopulated when I look them in the eye just as dead cold as I can and say, you can start with yourself. Try that sometime.
I never have figured out why the leftists don't start with themselves. I mean, it's a really great point. He's gone. Did we lose him? Maybe he went through a bad signal. But he's right about that, really. If you're really all in, then show me how you're all in. The problem is they've convinced a lot of young people. I know someone who's a teenage girl who says openly, hey, I'm not getting married. If I get married, I'm not having children because having children damages the planet. And the climate is going crazy, and I'm just not going to be a part of that. To the point that she is upset with other people that she knows who are older who are having children. That is what is going on, and it's really a horrible thing. And Steve actually made some very good points in that we are to subdue the earth. We're supposed to take care of it. We should be good stewards. God owns it. It is his. We're taking care of his garden, so we absolutely should be respectful and do the right things. But this is crazy. We are literally worshiping creation instead of the creator, no doubt. Let's go to Jason in Athens. Jason, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening. I hope you're well.
Thank you, Scott. I am well. I've been
This is the Jason I know. Long time no talk.
Yes, it is. And I wanted to tell you, it's a great show. I was happy to hear it, and I'd love to hear more of you up this way. That's really all I had to say.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it greatly. It's good to be on. I'm glad that Phil Williams asked me. I know that we have a number of folks like you, Jason, who used to listen when my show was back on 101.1 before it changed formats. But we're getting the chance, and you're going to love Right Side Radio on 101.1. Phil is going to do a great job, and hopefully I'll be able to be on from time to time. So I appreciate you saying that. The Boomer, there was one last thing I wanted to get to, and if somebody else calls, we'll definitely get to them. But I talked about it earlier, and this is one of the things I talked about on my show for a number of years, and I'm glad to see that it is finally, I would love to say that you know, it grew from our show years ago, and some national hosts and national writers are finally figuring it out. What probably happened is they finally figured it out themselves. They didn't get it from us. But note that there's always this phrase, and I know my listeners get tired of hearing it. I get it. But you always hear this thing. Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy. Scott Beeson is a threat to our democracy. Oh my gosh, these Republicans are a threat to our democracy. Marjorie Taylor Greene is a threat to our democracy. Here's the interesting part. Number one, people who are educated about the country do understand that we're not a democracy. We're a republic. What is funny, if you go back historically, you realize that for over 100 years, we referred to our country as a republic. Do the Pledge of Allegiance. This is the one I love. It's a great one. Because you say this to some of your friends, and they're like, no, we're a democracy. We're a democracy. Good. Well, you were around when we learned the Pledge of Allegiance, and we still did it, right? Oh, yeah. And you basically had it printed. It was on the inside of your little cigar box we called the little school box, right? Do you have those, Boomer? Are you too young?
Oh, no, we had all of them.
You had all that, right?
Yeah, we had all of it.
And you had the Pledge of Allegiance was inside under the lid.
Yep.
And you pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the democracy for which it stands. Right?
Yeah.
So usually when I go through that and they get to, well, I know the Pledge of Allegiance. Are you sure you know? Yeah, I know the Pledge of Allegiance. And to the Republic, and you see in their eyes, they're like, oh, crap. I just said it. Scott's right. I hate his guts. Go away. Die. That you kind of get that. So it is a republic. And if you go back, you'll find out that at the start or early on in the progressive movement, one of the things they did is they came in and they started trying to get the military. The military had all these classes. They wanted to get people up to speed. And you had all these, you know, young teenage boys and being recruited or maybe drafted. And over time, they began to replace the references to the country as a republic with a democracy. And they don't do these things on accident. So you have this, well, why say democracy? Oh, because it's the vote of the people. It's the will of the people. Those kinds of things. You start losing the rule of law. You start replacing it with, well, what do the people want today? You don't have to worry about the Constitution. That thing's outdated. We don't really have to change it. We'll just do what we want today because we're a democracy. Oh. But here's the point. People on the left, when they say our democracy, we hear our country. We hear our United States. They don't mean that. I'm telling you, I've looked at it long enough to know when most of the time when they say our democracy, they mean the country that they're going to fundamentally transform the United States into. Our democracy is where they're trying to go. Not where we have been, not where we are. They're telling the truth. They're telling us what they mean. Donald Trump's a threat to our democracy. Donald Trump doesn't want us to change to our democracy. They are absolutely telling us. We just don't always hear it right. I'll just leave you with a little wisdom there. Boomer's like, oh man, that might be right. That stinks. Look, let's be happy about it. At least we've got them figured out now. Happy warriors. I'm going to try my best to be back tomorrow. You don't think I'll be fired, do you?
No
more
way.
Day?
No, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Usually takes more than 2 days to be fired, I guess. We'll be back. Y'all have a good one. See y'all.